Right. So do we have any questions or any comments at all?
Patrick, Thomas here. Just a very quick one. When I'm looking at the 10 largest investable holdings, we'll say when you see the likes of AIB and Laois County Council, just in general, how are they coming to you looking for funding, especially AIB Bank?
Okay, so I probably get that question asked many, many, many times. I am obviously not doing a very good job of explaining.
I haven't heard the explanation.
But it's very simple. All of these companies, whether it's the largest investable or the top 10 rated, these are all big companies that have received a supply of goods or services from a smaller company. And that smaller company comes to us and says, I'm supplying AIB or I'm supplying Laois County Council. And over the course of the next month or the next year, I'm going to do, let's say, 1.2 million worth of business with either of those institutions or organizations. So they will issue an invoice for 100,000 each month to AIB and 100,000 each month to Laois County Council. But if you go back to the original name of a company, the company's name was Debtors Exchange. And the reason for that is because AIB now no longer owes money to our customer, the originator. They actually owe the money to us.
Yeah.
And it's AIB that pays us.
Yeah,
and perfect. that's where your risk is. Your risk is with AIB because the originator has been paid and is off the pitch, for want of a better word.
Yeah, no, perfect, 100%.
Okay.
And Patrick, Paul is Del here. With as you kind of alluded to earlier on, and I mean, we're all getting, worried.
Nervous
about the possible recession. What worries would you have with regard to the exchange for if that is to arise and, you know, for Gael going to get hit with a significant recession?
Short answer is heavy exposure to indigenous companies based in Ireland, UK, who are not exporting or may be exporting, but are, I would say, their well-being is very closely tied to the well-being of the country that they operate from. So while things have been on the rise in Ireland for the last, year or more, which I still don't fully understand, there were things that actually were rising through the back end of COVID. There was a dip, and then things just seemed to gradually keep improving. And I'm going, I can't figure this out. So half the people in Ireland are locked in their houses. How can the economy be growing? I still don't have an answer for that one, by the way. But if the health of your company is strongly linked to the health of the economy in your country, so you're completely susceptible to a recession. So if a recession hits, your business is going to contract just like the economy does. The businesses that we're involved in are counter-recessionary in terms of they will do okay in recession, someone who's in infrastructure projects, but they'll have high labor costs. Higher labor costs than when you're in recession, where their labor costs will drop. So anything that's counter-recessionary, things like, funnily enough, shipping, that is looking very much like it's going to be a counter-recessionary position because there is still a strong demand in that market, a market that 18 months ago was paying 12,000 a day, has paid obviously at its peak as much as 36 and 40,000 a day, is now currently holding at 20,000 a day. So those companies that were just about making making their way at 12,000 are now earning 8,000 per day more than they were 18 months ago. And the indications are, for a lot of reasons that I won't get into because it'll take too long, but the supply and demand dynamics within the shipping market are all positive because of regulatory pressures coming in. A thing called slow steaming is going to force more pressure on the market for ships to move at slower speeds, which means you're going to need more ships to supply the market, but nobody's ordered them. So therefore, prices are destined to stay high. So shipping looks counter-recessionary. Infrastructure projects will be counter-recessionary. And other specific types of trade, coal, anything to do with energy. So those are the places that our focus is, rather than looking at the trade in Leinster, Munster, I don't know, over in the west of England, West Midlands, where you would be completely exposed to the local market.
Okay. So kind of what you're saying is really that you're refocusing who you're financing to, is it?
Absolutely. Yes.
Yeah.
Well, we've been doing that for a number of reasons over the last couple of years. Again, nothing to do with COVID. Our company didn't exist, or certainly it wasn't trading 8 years ago. So on Monday, is it next week, Monday, we are exactly 8 years trading. So we came from possibly one of the worst times in the history of anyone on this phone call after the financial crisis. So we've evolved slowly and carefully. We've gone from doing small transactions in Ireland, local market, to then looking at Ireland, UK, to then extending further afield. So we have been very cautious and slow. Like, we looked at we leased one product, which off the top of my head was €15,000. And we looked at that leasing transaction for 6 months before we took on another one and then monitored it. And we had done over a 3 year period less than 50,000 before we decided, yes, we like leasing, and this is the particular type of product, and this is the particular profile of guy we're looking for. So everything has been slowly and cautiously built up. At the same time, the business has been evolving. So should we be in agribusiness? Should we be in, hospitality? So we're all the time asking ourselves these questions and reporting as we do, as we will do tomorrow to the board, saying this is what we're doing and this is what we're thinking of not doing anymore, and this is where our focus is now. So we have been removing certain types of originator from our portfolio because they're ultimate debtors, the Fortis, AIB, Nestle. We're looking for more and more of that type of quality, which we believe, because I personally hold the belief we're looking at a recession. I'm just one voice of tens of thousands. Who's to say I'm right? But if I'm wrong, I'll be very happy, because the economy will be fine and we'll all be saying, oh, thank God that didn't happen. But we have to plan for the worst. So trimming the rows or whatever people do in gardening, don't they prune? There you go. Pruning to keep ourselves thin and agile and allow for growth.
Grand. Thanks, Patrick.
Sorry, Patrick, do you see the cost of fuel making a difference to the shipping side of things? Because it seems to be going up all the time, and there's talk that there could be shortages. Hello? Sorry,
can you hear me?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, am I still here?
Yeah, you're still there. Yeah, I can hear you. No, I was just wondering, has, you know, would you have any concerns about the cost of fuel in terms of...
Sorry, my aunt. So obviously my phone kicked me out. So fuel mixed with inflation, mixed with supply chain issues, which are not going away anytime soon.
No.
All three of those are cause for serious concern. Like, depending who you talk to, I think the supply chain issue is going to get worse in the next 18 months, possibly 24. So it's going to get worse before it gets better. So that's not going on anytime soon. Price of oil, don't really know. Can't tell you. All I know is that when you hear OPEC, doesn't sound good. Supply chain and inflation. Yeah, ECB needs to do something, but they're doing the spinning plate thing. I don't envy their job, but maybe they should have reacted a bit sooner than they are. And they don't appear to have reacted yet. So, yeah, it's it might all go away, but I just don't think so. I can't see it.
It's just that a lot of the shipping companies would have purchased their oil and diesel and fuel and all that. They'd have forward purchased stuff. So they'd have set prices for a certain period of time. And are they going to find difficulties now when they're actually, when they're going back to the marketplace again and saying, look, okay, we need to forward purchase now, but it's gone, everything's gone. And is that going to affect aggregates and the price of them? And would it affect, you know, people in the businesses then, because the supply of the product that they're looking for, it could drive.
Well, commodities. Yeah, commodities. What's the commodity they use in fertilizer? 1 second. But the guy I'm talking to earlier today, and he is talking about... Oh, no, it jumps off the page here. Boom, boom, boom. It'll come to me in a moment, but urea.
Yep.
Urea, which is, I'm sure, hugely important. Don't ask me what it's actually used for, but I know it's in fertilizers. Price of urea has gone from $50 to $200. Price of corn has gone from $60 to $200 because of crop issues. Canada apparently has had bad weather. And then we've got our friends in the Ukraine who supply 40% of the world's grain, or depending on who you speak to, and then India shutting its borders. So all these innocuous commodities that are taken for granted are all suddenly rocketing. Price of timber going through the roof, cost of building a house anywhere in the Western world going up by 30%, all because of the cost of raw materials. And that's from last year. So there's a lot of pressure in the system. So even if you bought your fuel forward, doesn't really matter. You haven't bought it 2 years ahead or even 12 months ahead. You probably bought 3 or 6 months. You're heading out of that into bunker prices. Last month were the highest ever on record at $900 a ton. So these are record-breaking numbers. So it's... cause for a lot of concern, let's put it that way.
Yeah, interesting times.
Well, all without sounding too joyful, everyone would prefer a stable economy and not too many peaks and troughs in it, but more expensive things are, the more finance people need, so it's good for our business.
Yep.
Well, once they can pay it back, Patrick, that's the...
Well, you have to make sure
that'd be like, I mean, I suppose that'd be the thing I would be just wondering is, you know, with recession, like the danger of significant bad debt. That's, I suppose...
That is exactly where and why what we do is so important. So back to Thomas's question, who will owe you money when things start to go horribly wrong? Well, the people on the 10 largest investable holdings will be the names who owe us money. And that's why the originator that brings us those companies is important. But our exposure is not to him. Our exposure is to these, as we call them, household names. So, yes, does it mean that these very large companies could go out of business? Yeah. Even the biggest companies in the world have gotten themselves into difficulties during recessionary times. That's why we carry AIG insurance.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
Yep.
Patrick, just enjoy the top 10 there again that we're on it. You speak about so much about the shipping side of things and the exposure, that's the sector that credit exchange has gone down, and you see it as being a positive today and a positive going forward. Just looking at those large 10, where does the shipping element of that come into? I wouldn't know these companies you'd be dealing with, so they're not household names.
They're not on this list because they're not big enough at this moment. We've been quite quiet in the shipping sector. Yeah, we're still in the market, but we haven't bought a single ship in 9 months because we don't like the prices. And we have financed very little ship movement because there's been no real demand from us of the few customers that we have in that sector, but they're starting to come back to us now because they can see that there's a squeeze coming on the market and they need more finance to bring in more vessels. So there won't be a huge amount of shipping in this briefing or the last four of this year, but it was very big in December. We had one originator that we were trading in December. We didn't like the direction he was going in, so we stopped trading with him. So we are watching not only the people who owe us money, but the market, and then who's operating in that market, because they may be our customer and our debtor might be whoever the debtor is. But the originator still has to make their delivery and still has to operate in order for us to get paid. So if we don't like how they're operating, we'll pull back. So at this moment, there isn't a huge amount of ship finance in our numbers, apart from whatever vessels we bought last year.
Would that make up 20% of the exchange, 10%?
They would make up of the total book 20%.
All right.
But split across, I might have discussed how the LTV works. So if we own $10 million worth of vessels, in terms of there's $10 million of cash in vessels, the value of those vessels is $20 million or more, which means that the ultimate beneficial owner of those vessels during the course of their life is someone who's put in, it's not 50, it's 60. So we would have 12 million, the vessels would be, 14 million, the vessels would be at 20 million valuation or higher. So that person has invested, let's take a simple example. If it's a $1 million vessel, they have 400,000 of their money trapped in that vessel. So the value of that vessel needs to drop by 60% before we have a problem.
Yep.
Meanwhile, all of the income from that vessel is coming through us, and the income will be many multiples of what their monthly exposure is.
Okay. And the rate, sorry, the last thing, the rate, I see it's currently 2.075. Is that just looking there on the web? Is that correct?
Yes.
Right.